10 to 1 on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds, and Canada is holding national elections this year. Joining us to talk about that is our Canadian correspondent, Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun. Happy New Year to you, Vaughn.
Happy New Year to you, Ross, and I think we'll be talking a fair amount about national politics in Canada this year. You're right, it's probably going to be the big story.
Yeah, and that's national elections now scheduled for October. Stephen Harper is coming up on his ninth year as prime minister. Now, to some, politicians are like fish. If they stick around too long, they start to stink. But I understand, even though there are Harper haters, more broadly, he's pretty competitive in this run for re-election.
It's incredible, really. You're right. You know, 9 years this February, I think when Stephen Harper, some people see it, snuck into office in 2006, if you'd told people he was going to be around for 9 years, they'd have been pretty surprised. The last two Canadian prime ministers who served lengthy terms, Brian Mulroney and Jean Chrétien, lasted 8 or 9 years. So 8 or 9 years is a good long run as prime minister. But, yeah, the year-end opinion polls... polls change, but the year-end opinion polls show that Harper was still pretty competitive. Not out of the running by any means. No reason for him to think he couldn't get out one more term. Now, polls change. The election's still a long way away. He's been more unpopular in recent years. So, and you're right, there are an awful lot of Stephen Harper haters out there. So you put all that together, I wouldn't put money on either outcome in the election this far ahead of it.
Vaughn, how would you summarize Stephen Harper's leadership? What has it meant for Canada?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any question that he's moved the country center-right as opposed to center-left under the previous Liberal government. But Canadian terms of center-right and center-left don't necessarily mean the same thing that they do in context of other countries. I guess if I were trying to fit Stephen Harper into the American political spectrum, he'd be somewhere between maybe a blue dog Democrat and a liberal Republican, if there's any of those left down there.
Okay. You know,
to say he's right of center is not mean that he would fit all that well into the Republican Party. And, of course, there's some issues on which Canada and the U.S. don't match up at all, and probably gun control and abortion are the head of the list there.
So how's Stephen Harper gearing up for his reelection?
Well, first thing he did was a clear the decks move. He demoted his Minister of Veterans Affairs, Julian Fantino. Now, Harper has shown himself to be a supporter of the Canadian military. He's wrapped himself in the flag on some issues. He's tried to portray himself as a defender of veterans and the military, and he had a huge problem there because his government has been busy changing and cutting benefits to veterans, including veterans of the war in Afghanistan, and Fantino is doing a terrible job rationalizing it, justifying it, and explaining it. So the Prime Minister had a big problem. He's demoted Fantino. He's out as Minister of Veterans Affairs. There's a new minister there with a mandate to repair that issue before the election. So again, you see politicians coming up on an election. As I said, it's tentatively scheduled for October. There was some thought there might be an early election. The Prime Minister ruled that out in year-end interviews. So he's got still got some time to, you know, identify each problem and fix it before the election.
Now, I understand that one advantage that Stephen Harper has in continuing on as Prime Minister in the upcoming elections in October is that the opposition is pretty divided.
Yes, and that we've seen in the past where the opposition parties in Canada are badly split. You can win a general election in this country with less than 40% of the vote. We've had majority governments elected with like 37-38% of the vote. So Harper in this case has two main opponents and a minor opponent. The major opponent is the New Democratic Party, led by Thomas Mulcair. They're our official opposition. The second party that he faces is a revived Liberal Party under Justin Trudeau, who's the son of former Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, and something of a matinee idol in his ability to attract media coverage and raise funds, so he's a big challenger.
Ah, the Trudeau charisma.
Yes, and then the Green Party is a factor in some ridings, and there's still a separatist party in Quebec, although they're nothing like the power they were before, but When you put that many parties into the mix, and at this point it isn't clear that there's an obvious party to vote for if you want to defeat Harper, that increases his odds of re-election. If he can keep his opponents in rough balance, if everybody doesn't line up behind one party as the way to defeat Harper, he could form a majority government again with less than 40% of the vote.
You're listening to the dulcet tones of our Canadian correspondent, Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun. Now, Canada's economy, like the United States, has been one of the few bright spots in the world. That'll be the backdrop for this coming election. I assume that might be helpful for the incumbent.
It could be, although, you know, the one thing we don't know how will play out, because it's such a recent development, is the crash in oil prices and commodity prices. Canada still makes an awful lot of money out of oil production, as people will know, and it's a major source of government revenue. It does well for the economy. It keeps the dollar high. Well, with oil prices on the slide, that has an impact on the oil-producing part of the country, particularly Alberta. But as in the United States, it can be really good news for consumers, can be good news for manufacturing sector. So even though the dollar is down, well, again, your exports become cheaper that way. So we haven't seen exactly how this is going to play out in the country. It may simply mean a shift in the balance of economic power away from the commodity-producing, the oil-producing province in the west, Alberta, towards central Canada, where the manufacturing industries in Ontario have had a rough few years, partly because of high energy prices, and energy prices are now coming down.
Is this going to be an issue? Will we see distinct differences among political leaders about how to deal with the falling price of oil, assuming it continues right into this election year for Canada?
Yes, it's fascinating, isn't it, in the news media, that how every development gets turned into bad news. But if you're a consumer, or you're a tourist, or a traveler, or a manufacturer, an automobile maker, there's all kinds of industries that are surely going to benefit from lower oil prices. It's got an interesting political dimension, too. I know the new Republican-led Congress is getting ready to pass and approve the Keystone Pipeline. The president said he's going to veto it, but you know, I don't want to sound like a bad Canadian, but how badly needed is that pipeline with oil, with there being a glut of oil, and oil sliding toward a price below $40 a barrel? There's a question of how much oil production will be maintained in Canada's oil sands, because they're a high production field. They do very, very well when the price is high, but it's expensive to produce oil in the oil sands because you have to burn a lot of gas to produce it. And there may not be as much urgency to get that pipeline built as there was a few years ago.
Vaughn, I have a hard time believing anyone would think you were a bad Canadian.
Well, I guess it depends on what province you live in.
Vaughn Palmer.
Albertans would think I was a bad Canadian, that's for sure.
Vaughn Palmer, our Canadian correspondent, columnist for Vancouver Sun. Thank you so much, Vaughn.
Bye-bye, Ross.